It's Wednesday night, the 22nd of June. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatters Live, broadcast on this, Wednesday, 2011 night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Glad to be with you. Glad you're listening by satellite, by internet, by the archives. Could be a great and awesome providential moment for all of us as we ask God to stretch out his hand to save, to heal, to deliver, to show his great, extraordinary power. And depending on who's listening and when, may God show that extraordinary work for the saving of your life. For those believers, may you be strengthened, empowered by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. And listen, for those trying to engage during this week, may God visit you. I want to ask if there's any missionaries out there. I know I received emails from missionaries and other workers down in Mexico, closer to Guatemala, actually, and the discussions of the spiritual darkness and what goes on down there. We've also had stories from others concerning being on the field. Well, the witch doctors, the sorcerers, those who are in the deep, deep, in those tribes, in the deep side of experienced, demonism, if you want to say it that way. Their abilities, their powers, their acquisition of the abilities to curse, put spells, and engage in spiritual attack. It's as if the demonic powers inside of them alert them the moment the missionaries, born of the Spirit of God, come into the region. And it's pretty clear that they are using this form of astral projection, where the demons have helped empower them to get out of their body for many other reasons, including communication, bringing in the demonic doctrines and the abilities, but also then to use as a form of warfare. Those using astral projection in the area of old and new sorcerers, New Agers, 2012ers, Wiccans. Yeah, the witches do. I've got a testimony here. And others that have told me over the years. But among Satanists and the chosen ones, I don't think the church understands how vast, how broad, how wide. I don't think that they understand that the centrality of our salvation, our life in Christ, with all of the joy and the power and the great good that we have in Christ. Nevertheless, Jesus said it, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We've been birthed and thrown right into the arena, armed by God, if we use the weapons of our warfare, to do the work, to do the mission. Now, if you want to stay hidden, quiet, suppressing the Spirit of God, quenching the Holy Spirit, if you want to stay silent and let the world go to hell, I mean, that's something that will be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. But I trust that if you're listening, as a believer, you desire to be what it is that God has willed for you to be in Christ, powerful, strong, growing, able, a part of the greatest mission, backed by the greatest power and work that, could be. So you are in walking with Christ, and then in the mission of Christ, well, that's where all the, well, as the old evangelist John Wesley used to say, that's where the action is. I want to welcome you to this program tonight. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. That's where you'll find the overview, the PDF broadcast study notes, and this week's theme, astral projection, astral attacks, psychic assassinations. Tonight we're going to deal with astral projection and how it's used in astral attack, astral sexual attack. Is it new or not so new? Well, we're going to take a look at it. Thursday, we're going to take a look at the weaponizing of it, and will this be part of the troops of Antichrist down the road, and is it being practiced that way among super soldiers? Friday night's the big day that we're going to use that hour to go over detecting and stopping, I mean, really learning the spiritual authority, armor, and so forth that God has given us in Christ. not only to be defensive, but to be preemptive, to go after it, ultimately for the sake of souls and lives and the crushing of the demonic realm's work. Listen, there is no one else out there. The body of Christ, I mean you who are born again of the Spirit of God, you and I have been called to take up the cross, deny self daily, and to follow Christ. Well, I tell you something, as we look into this subject, and I'm getting emails and more information. Now, we've been engaged on this level for some time. I told you the story in the beginning of the week where one of the prayer intercessors, when I walked into the office, said they were in there praying, doing about an hour's worth of intercession and prayer and engagement, when they said that they felt something was in the room. And they literally and very, very deeply experienced in the Spirit of God in charismatic giftings, said that it was as if it was more than demonic. It seemed as though a person was in the room, but as if they had some kind of binoculars, technical binoculars, and they were observing and watching and locating. And she asked me if I knew anything about remote viewing. That was pretty interesting because we've been engaged with individuals, second generation. I mean, we studied all the first generation. So we got into this with that discussion. And as I look back at a lot of the spiritual experiences, the spiritual battles, the nights that I woke up at 3 a.m. in the morning, it's one thing to feel like there's just demonic activity, number one. It's another thing to feel like something has been sent because somebody in a ritual summoned a demon and they targeted you and it has come for a particular purpose, kind of like a hound dog, the hounds of hell. Now, that's kind of demonstrated clearly in Revelation 16, the targeted, the sending, assigned. You know, demons get assigned what to do in those ritual releases. Now, that's a broader aspect of warfare because they have opened the side. They have opened the doors. And the body of Christ on this side of the two covenants needs to understand clearly that this is the kind of thing that would have been done in the Old Testament. Moses, he had to pray. He had to raise his arms up. There was a nation that summoned the demon gods to empower them, the demon gods of war, to enable them to beat Israel. Please understand that as Moses was praying, that became like the laws of engagement, the window by which God came through. And Israel would be winning during that time. It was about the spiritual power behind the military engagement. But when Moses grew tired and the prayers, well, the arms went down and the prayers were going down, things shifted in the spiritual realm and the demonized tribe, they began to win. The king of Moab, he sacrificed his son, shedding his blood on the wall, bringing out the demonic powers that would fall upon the soldiers and literally give them a rush, a rage, a frenzy, a fierceness, and they defeated Israel. Now, we're going to talk more about the weaponization on Thursday night. I wanted just to bring this up to say that in engaged as a believer in Christ, Ephesians 6, the book of Ephesians, I mean, you can go to 1 John, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And if you say, well, I don't want to know anything about it, then you are already defeated. You are meant to know about it. Is it right for us as believers in Christ to decide what scripture we're not going to study? What scripture we're going to eliminate? Are we able to look up at the throne of God and say, God, get off the throne. Let me sit there. Let me decide what verse, what word of God I will receive and put into practice. How nuts is that? You see, we're believers in Christ. Knowing the victories of Christ, we should be consuming the Word of God. We should get all that we can to become all that we can become in Christ. I mean, every scripture helps to enlarge your spiritual life, your spiritual knowledge, your spiritual abilities. So why wouldn't we want the Word of God and more of it? And really, especially in the broadest, widest ramping up of the dark side's presence in all of human history, in preparation for the great chaos and the apocalypse of Antichrist, the rise of a new order. Oh, it's going to come. It sure is. The abyss will be open. The Armageddon will occur. The issue is, as believers right here and now, do we just sit and watch? Give me the scripture on that one. Man, I give me the scripture where we're just supposed to sit back, hide out, and watch. God didn't say that. God released us with power, with authority. He has sent us into the world, highways and byways, every single human being. Nobody has greater passion. Listen, Luciferian, listen, Satanist, listen, Psy Warrior, and astral projectors, those involved, the powers that you have, they're going to know the presence behind this broadcast. Emails have come in saying, I started to listen to your broadcast, but the voices in my head said, shut it off. They understand the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. If you're listening and you know you don't have the Spirit of God and you have other spirits, you got to realize what side of the fence. And it is a horrifically deceptive side, a losing side. It is detrimental to your eternal existence. Is it not? The good news, listening now, God speaking to your heart, look at Christ, look at it on the cross, look at what he's done there, look at the bloodshed, look at the death, look at the resurrection, and Jesus did it for you, and he seeks you, knocks at the door of your heart, summons you by the Spirit of God, come to Christ. What are you waiting for? Believers in Christ, as you join in the prayers, because as thousands and thousands listen and thousands and thousands and thousands download, 90 countries of the world, we pray that the Russians and the Chinese and the Poles and those in Estonia and listen across the world in Mumbai and in London and Liverpool and in Ireland and New Zealand, a new friend there. All over the world, you got to understand something. The Spirit of God seeks you. The Spirit of God summons you. God's trying to point you to Christ, the door to direct access to God so that God can come into your life. You can be born of the Spirit of God, given the gift of indestructible immortality, given the presence and the power of God. Occultist, get out of it. Get out of it quickly. May God bring extraordinary deliverance to those listening right now in Jesus' name. May God bring extraordinary miracle to those listening right now in Jesus' name. May God bring Holy Spirit discernment to believers on the field and mission to understand whether or not it is, well, let me just say it this way, normal spiritual warfare. You know, we all go through that. Acts, again, you can find out that in the book of Acts, in a sense. But what do you call normal? I mean, here you have the early church. They're moving along, and all of a sudden there's this engagement with Ananias and Sapphira. In the physical realm, there's a man, there's a woman. They had plotted together. They had sought, the Greek word means they had sought to pull the wool over the eyes of the church to test the durability. Something inside of them, a big, broad, greedy lie opened the door wide to the enemy. And then there was this desire to pull the wool over the eyes of the church. And literally, Satan not only entered them, but the Greek word pleroo, he filled them. His presence filled them. On the physical side, you could see two individuals that were wanting to make it look like they were, you know, becoming a part and getting right in there. I mean, this is like what infiltration is all about. They were liars coming in. They were deceivers coming in. And whether they knew it or not, it's very clear from the Word of God, the Spirit of God shows it, Satan entered them, filled them. Now, obviously, you can take a look what occurred. Look what occurred there in the spiritual warfare of the early church. Peter, who had once lost, Pew, who had no idea of the agitation, the spiritual battle, Peter, who went away and denied Christ, cussed and cursed. And, you know, you can know when spiritual warfare is coming against you, when you get agitated to the point of wanting to cuss and go into a frenzy. You can know there's warfare there. You better get up the prayers, cry out the name of Jesus, and rebuke the powers of darkness by the authority of Christ. Clear the air around you. You know what? I ask that God does that for you right now. That any oppressed individuals, anybody being attacked, in the name of Jesus, Lord, show them right now and clear the air all around them in the name of Jesus. We command all demon spirits oppressing them, crushing them, harming them, attacking them, lying to them, all those arrows that have been sent, be broken in the name of Jesus. May God's extraordinary deliverance, wherever you are, whatever time you listen to this, may it be destroyed in Jesus' name now. Now, I'm sure by the word of God, I'm sure by the experiences that I've seen, that there will be those who will have immediate effect. Over the phone, we've had people fall to the ground, demons manifest. Long distance, we've done this, multinational. You see, it doesn't make any difference whether you're in Germany or whether you're in France or whether you're in Russia or whether you're here. You know, as long as there's an engagement and we can exercise the authority and compassion of Jesus Christ. I think the greatest sum up of the picture is Mark 5, the demonized man. But then again, those who are, listen, in the world of the New Age, 2012ers, light level, or what they consider to be light level Wicca witchcraft. What are the powers? What is the background? How's come every witch, Wiccan, that comes out of Wicca, that turns to the living Christ and is born of the Spirit of God, they now know God, His power, His life. How's come they turn around and say, wow, everything that I was in was demonic. All those powers and all those presences and all those energies, wow, that was demonic. I about lost my soul. Some of you might be selling it right now. Got an email. Here's what it says. I got a break out the names and things they asked me to. I'm going to do that because I don't like to mention names and places. But it says, quote, "Hi, Russ, blessings and peace and protection to you. After I heard Monday's message, I felt I needed to write this. I alluded to it in a previous email. I told you about Anton LaVey's biological daughter showed up at our church for deliverance." They named the church in the city. "Stating that she was a satanic high priestess and that her daughter had tried to kill her to obtain her position. My pastor jumped into the waters of spiritual warfare with both feet. I had been praying that our church would become mighty in warfare church, but I had no idea that this was how it was going to happen." Let me just stop and say that many times people all of a sudden get engaged and their eyes are open to how real it is. That's when they want to study like crazy. I get letters like that constantly. I get letters like, one of the letters I've got right here, "Where can I find a church in my area in California? I want to find something that teaches and shares and brings out the Word of God the way you do." And I just say, seek the Spirit of the Lord to guide you. Go ahead and look, go ahead and search. Trust the Lord. Stay deeply versed in Scripture, but look for a church where people actually get saved, where they will pray for healing, where they will pray for people to be delivered from demonic powers and teach believers the authority of Christ and the armor of God. Now, I'm going to go on with this letter. It says this. They've been praying for the church. Here's what it says. They ended up taking this woman into their home. They renamed her. They worked through deliverance. This individual says, quote, "I was on the periphery of what happened, but several times the Lord drew me in to be involved directly." They tell me where I can get the full contacting the pastors, how to get the full story in detail. But it goes on to say this. The pastors and so forth had many experiences. Now listen to this. Of Anton speaking through this individual directly, whether this was astral projection, those working with satanic ritual abuse, we've got to ask ourselves whether or not subpersonalities have become the gateway whereby others in the coven, others who are demonically empowered, astral projecting out to find out where the victim is hiding and running, where and who you are, and then actually project into, obviously by the power of the demon. Now, they claim it can happen. They claim it can happen. Pretty interesting. Now, here's what it says, that they actually heard Anton speaking through this individual, being delivered and being brought out of being a satanic priestess. And it is, and they say right here, it occurred by astral projecting into their deliverance sessions. How many times have counselors out there that deal with satanic ritual abuse, and again, it's been going on by the hundreds of thousands across the nation, all over Europe, and how many times now did subpersonalities contact the coven and handlers and let them know, hey, we're meeting such and such place at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be in that room, and then the coven get together and not only summon spirits and send them, but then get into that mode of astral attack, astral projection, astral attack, and actually come to do battle. There are stories. There are times that we were in the middle of deliverance in the deepest and most heavy way, powerful power demons inside, SRA chosen ones, and it was as if someone walked into the room, walked across the floor, but you couldn't see anybody. Projection? Sure. Demons do it on their own, but they look for, and I'm going to say this again in my research now, because I'm reading every possible, I'm reading book after book after book. I'm reading all of their side. I'm reading their stories. See, I've come out of that experience out of the late 70s, early 60s. I know what it is to leave my body. I know the reality on the biblical side of it, like we shared on Tuesday night with Ezekiel, with Paul and with John. By the Spirit of God, they knew the Lord. They had relationship with God. It was by God's presence and power that it happened, and it was for God's revelation and unveiling, and that became part of Scripture and part of prophetic Scripture. So it's clear biblically that it's possible. And the counterfeit, like everything else counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, right? 2 Thessalonians 2. Counterfeit everything. Counterfeit apostles, counterfeit doctrine, counterfeit prophets, counterfeit prophecies, counterfeit everything. But it is clear now in my research, in my experience, that along with the ramping up from the 70s on, the last 40 years of ramping up has included the embedding of, you can call it sleep paralysis, visitations directly by demons. They not only want into the lives, they not only want to bring sexual attack, but they're pulling individuals, just like, again, in counterfeit to God, in contrast to what God did, they're pulling people out of their bodies. Story after story is coming in. I'm reading primarily books and books and books and materials right now of those who are practitioners who are trying to teach others this practice. It is exactly what Timothy 4:1 is all about. It is exactly what the Spirit of God said loudly, that in the end of days, a certain class, a certain species of demonic presence called planos spirits, seducing spirits, they're going to come to deceive many. Please understand, their desire is billions. Revelation 12 indicates clearly the goal on the satanic evolutionary development here is billions, global. So don't sit back and think it's just something that's going to, a phase, it's fad, it's going to go away. Everything in the Word of God gives us the heads up, the cutting edge information, that it will become so broad, so wide, beyond anything Daniel experienced in ancient Babylon. The presence of the demonic in individuals and places and homes, in fields and ritual sites and places all around, in the air above your head, will be so thick. That's one more reason to grow as strong as you can, as deep as you can, and as defiant to the dark side as you can, as you win every single soul to Christ. May we pray today that as sorcerers listen, as others are sent this, as one SRA sends it to another, as one sends it to a handler, as the monitors, the Luciferian monitors, as they read it, may God strike you with extraordinary visitation to save you. To save you. I'm going on with the letter. They're talking about the astral projecting that was occurring while they were trying to bring this satanic priestess and take her through deliverance. This is the church out west. It goes on, quote, "It was war." They talk about how this, this high priest, this author of the Satanic Bible, founder of the Church of Satan, he had a ranch in the area about 30 minutes away from where the church was. I'm quoting, "Many times the pastors were threatened with death." They talk about the individuals would come from all over the country. They would walk around their house in capes and scattering corn, etc., sending them curses. Now they're saying this, I'm merely skimming over the details of what happened. There was one instance when one of the pastors was driving his car and the door flew open and something tried to attack him. When it comes to astral projection demonized in a willed known attack, spiritual attack in that sense, then there is more physicality. There's no question, as we see in the book of Job, that there was physicality, that even Satan caused a whirlwind that brought down the house. He caused the death of kids. He caused diseases. Yeah, the demonic realm, the satanic realm, can cause in attack diseases and cause what would be, we would consider a tornado. We must understand that when the manifestation of the dark side becomes so broad that the demonstrative side, the physical touch, I mean, think about the false prophet to come, calling fire down out of the heavens. I mean, it's as if everything that was ever done in the scriptures, the false prophet's going to try to do with one goal. His goal, deceive billions of individuals, push them towards the Antichrist. Do you understand how big and broad this is? Do you understand how far this is going to go? To the skeptics out there, you are of no use to God. Your unbelief, you read James chapter 1, the doubter, let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. You can't receive, nor can you release and help anybody. Thank God this dear individual wrote to me, willing to engage, willing to put up prayers, willing to be a part. Thank God this church out west was willing, the pastors were. And yeah, we learn, man, we learn. We engage some of the stuff like this. When you have actually, you know, that's, the, listen, the series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, many of these things that you're listening to come out of about 30 years of engagement. At times, we thought we were dead men. At times, we didn't even know what was happening at first. We had to learn along the way. And what we've learned is this. Lunging out in Christ, making God your refuge, trying to consume every scripture, and just forgetting about the doubting skeptics, the cessationists, the demythologizers. Dump all of that. They grieve the Spirit of God. And the question is whether they even know the Lord. You don't need to listen to them. They can't help you. They can only harm you. Listen to God. Listen to the Word of God. And launch out and see the faithfulness of Christ. He says it in the Great Commission, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I'm counting on the living Christ being with me to the end of my life, to the end of the age, whichever comes first. And if you read again, Mark 16:20, the disciples, we go out to evangelize in the power of the Spirit of God, and the Lord work with them. And he confirms his word by signs that follow. Guess what? In real biblical evangelism, where we're clothed with the Spirit of God, you know what the experience is? Jesus is alive and he's working with us. He's operative among us. You go out to face, doesn't make any difference, a satanic high priestess like this. Thank God for the pastors and leaders that did this and all that they engaged. It goes on to say this. I'm merely skimming over the details of what happened. They talk about how that something tried to attack. Praise be to God that the pastor and his family were protected through this, and out of it grew a strong deliverance ministry and a major pastor's spiritual warfare conference to train other pastors in the spiritual warfare. That's what came out of it. When you win, when you see the victory of the Lord, when you see, you know, stand and see, you know, the deliverance of the Lord. Do your part. Do what it is we're supposed to do. Read the book of Acts and look at the encounter of Paul later on and a Jewish sorcerer named Bar-Jesus. And in that engagement, the Spirit of God leads Paul to say, you know, hey, you're wicked. You're always trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And a mist came over his face, his eyes. He went blind. God blinded him. Right in front of the political leadership, the high political leadership, and it was a witness of the power of God as the proclamation of Jesus Christ was demonstrated. Power encounters, you better believe, more than ever, they're going to happen. And every believer walking in faith, walking like they did in the book of Acts, well, you can be sure, like they, you'll get stronger, you'll grow stronger, you'll become unstoppable, literally, Acts 5:42. And listen, what'll happen is, in all those experiences, and there's times that we're tried, there's times that we're woke up, there's times that we're embattled, but you press on with the Lord, you watch the victory of the Lord, you watch people get delivered, you watch people, literally demons going out of their bodies, out of their lives, the color of their eyes change back to their normal, the presence of the countenance on them changes. When they receive Christ, all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes in, new birth, all of heaven rejoices, and they are born of the Spirit of God, out of darkness, literally, into the light, right in front of your eyes. I've seen it again and again and again. One man begins to pray as I witnessed to him and shared. He boasted, he bragged, he's a Satanist, and all the things that he was going to do right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And when he tried to call in the name of Jesus, the demons threw him to the ground. He was choking. His face turned red hot. He was gasping. We commanded the demons, stop it. And we prayed for about 30 seconds or so. He broke loose, cried out to Jesus, asking Christ into his life, asking for the power of God to come into his life. We observed then an exchange out of the darkness into the light biblically. We watch this with New Agers. We watch this with those claiming spirit guides, ancestral spirits, and translucent New Age guides. We watched this with those that said they engaged and were being led by ascended masters. No, those are the cosmocrators. Those are archai. Those are exousia. Those are porneus pneumonikai. We watch demons go out in all kinds of ways that have gotten in all kinds of ways. Goes on to say this. I do want to share one event that happened. It was the week of Halloween on Friday. Wednesday night, I hadn't planned to go to the church, but the Lord strongly prompted me to go. I was late, and I hadn't planned to go, so I went and was just sitting in the lobby asking the Lord to show me why he wanted me to be there. About 10 minutes later, a pastor burst through the doors looking around. I asked him what was wrong. He said, pray. Get some people together and pray, and let his wife know what was going on. The pastors were out on the levees, in the neighboring town trying to talk this individual priestess. She had a knife and had called the police and told them that the pastors are trying to kidnap her. At this point, she was speaking with a demonic voice, or the voice of Anton. Could have even been a subpersonality. He said he was coming to get her and was trying to get the pastors out of the way. I started to pray with another lady in the lobby for wisdom and protection and for the pastors, and the priestess soon realized we needed more help. Well, the lady realized they needed more help. They went to the sanctuary and they found others, and prayer wars began to go in the church, and they began to unleash warfare. They began to travail, I'm quoting here, we began to travail. Almost instantly, the Lord showed me and another prayer warrior that we were to pray like Israel did. We began to pray that as Anton was traveling, astral projecting, that he would be engaged by Christ. In other words, meet Christ right there in the heavenlies. Kind of like Saul of Tarsus, only up in the air. It says this quote, I'm quoting, in all of God's glory, holy glory and majesty. And that if Anton would not submit and accept Christ, now here's what they say, that God would destroy him. Even as God told the Israelites to destroy the Nephilim infested neighbors. We also prayed for the supernatural wisdom, insight, and power for the pastors. We prayed for a little more time until God released us. And this goes on to say, and as this was happening, they went back to the levee, began to pray. God gave him supernatural insight to pray about the silver cord. You know, that talks about that in death, kind of a physical concept of connection to the body. That this would be broken, maybe. And a lot of people that are into astral projection and deep ones that are into it and messing around with it, they know that's a danger. There's stories left and right about that concept of things snapping and them the physical body dying. They never come back. They go on and on again. By the way, Anton did, LaVey died. Died. You've got to understand, and I'm very sure tonight that there will be those out of the dark side that will monitor, listen. There will be some that will get angry, energized by the dark powers. May God visit you since you've come out on the field. May God show you the prayers for your salvation, but God knows how to stop you. And believers in Christ need to understand, let me just mention three things from the notes. Point A, astral projection and radical evil, astral attack. It is a reality. I am reading materials here. Matter of fact, let me give you a quote. This is a guy, not saved, involved. Matter of fact, his book, I'm not going to name it. His book is being used. He's writing a book to teach everybody else how to do it in the format that as the entities engaged him and taught him and engulfed his life with this practice, which includes addictive sexual astral attack. Matter of fact, he explains in the book, it's like out in the astral realm, there is no morality. Really? Isn't that the realm of the demons? This individual, John Magnus, I quote him, says this, in time, we will use astral projection to gather information on who we are and where we come from. Stop and think about this. One of the military highly trained monarchs told me that in their astral projection, in their triangulation, when three of it did it together, to strengthen the astral body, the spirit, and the demonization, they wanted to go out further and further into that realm. But they always came to a barrier. They could not get past the barrier. Could that be the third heaven that Paul was brought up into? That God brought Paul, who knew the Lord, and brought him to an experience of seeing things. Again, to bring a revelation of that experience by God, because this has occurred in Sumer, this has occurred in Babylon, this has occurred with the ancients, this has occurred with those among old Hinduism, I mean, a normal practice among Tibetan Buddhists older pantheists, gurus, all kinds of practice in deep, dark witchcraft in Argentina, Brazil, Chile. Among the witch doctors in South Africa. But see, we now are talking about broader use of it all. Now, this individual is saying, because he has no idea the energy and the power and the vibes and all that, the entities that he's engaging and the ability to go passive and be empowered and go up out into the demonic realm. The astral realm is where the demons are. And let me tell you a story that I've only told a couple of times. With a monarch, military-oriented, highly empowered, highly programmed, demonized individual. When they told me they remote-viewed my house or astro-projected and did other things, they talked about blitzkrieg warfare, how from their coven they will come with lightning warfare against a church. Just seek to hit it from every direction to decimate it. They're learning. They're gaining. They're learning how to do it more. Just as a believer in Christ learns the weapons of your warfare, learns how to witness, learns how to pray against demons in people, just as you learn and grow and become stronger and stronger and more able and more empowered. And just as you get spiritual gifts and use that, on the other side of the fence, those who know what they're doing, they're growing in satanic powers, growing in experience, growing in warfare, covertly. And part of their strategy is to stay covert. Do it against you, but stay covert. So when coven members come together, or like this individual says, when a few of them come together and go out together, this is the one that explains psychic attack to kill somebody. This is the one that said that when they first got into the entire practice, it was all about the curiosity, then the energy, then the first experience of lifting up out of the body, and then more and more, and an energy was on them. This is the one that when I commanded in the name of Jesus of Nazareth that the energy would be made known for what it is. I already knew it was a demon, but all of a sudden this person could see it. They said it looked like a translucent, beautiful, New Age type spirit leading them deeper and deeper. This is the presence that was leading them deeper and deeper and deeper out into the ether or the astral planes or that realm. We got into a major interaction when we commanded for this entity to tell us its name. They said Argon. When we commanded Argon to make itself look like it really is, instead of transfiguring to look like that translucent spirit, the individual was horrified at its corrupted, monstrous look. This is something we did. I can only put it out there before you. I'm going to tell you what occurred. I prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that that realm that you call the ether, others call the astral realm, that it be literally, that the deception of it be broken and that you see it for what it is. And the individual was literally gasped. I said, what? They said, all of a sudden, now I see. All I see are thousands and thousands and thousands of demons. I commanded Argon, in the name of Jesus, tell this person what it is you want to do with them. I had to command it again. Argon cried out, yelled out, to take them to blankety blank. And they said, hell. The person wanted the demon power, the enablement, the non-human enablement out. We commanded Argon out and Argon left. Now, the individual told me later that they could no longer do that. They could no longer lift up out and go out and do that. If you are SRA, have subpersonalities, you got to get to those that are able to astral project. They are the open doorways for more demonic charging, powers, abilities, and connection. They are the ones that coven members can connect with and find out where you are. They are the ones that you could be sitting in the church doing nothing, but those astral projecting out can attack the pastor. I was doing seminars, these courses that we have on the Shatter website, I was teaching them at a local church. A large church, and one Sunday morning I came to do part of the preparatory stuff towards an evangelism crusade they were going to do there. Quite a few people got saved. But the guy in the sound booth told me that he had a background in occultism, paranormal stuff. And he said, "It's really strange, Russ, that when the pastor gets up to speak, all of a sudden, I begin, like something takes over my mind and I'm trying to project out and I'm trying to control his mind in his speech." That's happening in a sanctuary. You know what's happening in sanctuaries everywhere? Those sleepers placed and assigned into churches. If you got bizarre spiritual warfare going on, if you got people getting sick and uncanny things occurring and financial things and stuff going on and division and all, just the weirdest, uncanny, you don't know why? Covert warfare that without question, if it involves an SRA, a chosen one, involves demonized astral projection as an astral attack that can bring confusion, can bring sickness, can bring, like the arrows of the enemy in Ephesians 6, those lies, those involuntary thoughts and feelings. If nobody does anything, they can really bring great harm to a local body. They really can. Another email came in. I wrote to them, told them that I was going to say a little bit here. No names again. Here's what it says. "Shalom, Russ. I just began listening to your broadcasts on astral projection. I was involved in the occult for 7 years before coming back to Yeshua in 2005. The broadcasts brings to recollection the things that I used to do, but I've never talked about it to anyone of my friends or my husband. My husband's has been listening to your broadcast for quite a while, and I believe he has corresponded with you a couple of times. He sent me an email about the Astral Projection series, and if my jaw could have, it would have gone through the floor. I had completely put out of my mind so many things that I had done while I was a priestess in a coven. And the worst of them for me was the astral projection." I'm going to say it again. I'm quoting a practitioner, a priestess out of a coven. "The worst of them was for me the astral projection. During this time, I'd begun to experience sleep paralysis." And I'm just going to simply say that they go on to more and more about this, and their deliverance was found in the Lord. As a matter of fact, I've invited them to come on one of our late night talk shows, Ragged Edge, and I might do an interview. And I want those listening right now that, yes, it's a providential moment. Why do we have to wait as pastors and leaders and Christians? Be 30 years behind what's going on. In the 60s, unprecedented, as one occult writer says, the second largest proliferation of occult literature in history was dumped in the United States in the 60s. The first was pre-Nazi Germany, James Webb in his book on the occult establishment. That opened the doors, obviously. Chosen ones who had already begun to be created in the 50s and 60s were being unleashed everywhere in the United States, Canada, Australia, all of Europe, in Russia. And they began to unleash their warfare. They were learning. They're growing. Now there's a second generation, a third generation, a fourth generation. There are kids that are 8 years old with subpersonality programming, demonization that can be placed in your church. And while they up front don't know anything going on, like a hypnotized person, the subpersonalities are conscious, co-conscious. Yeah, I'm revealing their secrets. In Connecticut, when we did a little bit of this, one of the chosen one type individuals, subpersonalities, jumped up, began to counter what we're saying. They had to be taken out into the hallway and declare that my head needed to be cut off because I told the secrets. They love to work in secret. You ever read that Greek word mysterium? You ever read it there in 2 Thessalonians 2? The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. And it's all about the evolutionary development, which means the training, the empowerment, the development, more and more and more. Listen, generally there's a deception. Specifically, they engage some to be used to experience deeper, to write materials so that millions of others can be engaged. On astral projection alone, there are literally hundreds of thousands of websites, articles, and blogs, videos, and those sharing their experiences, primarily on the good side, primarily trying, just as the demons taught them, now they, by that demonic guidance, are teaching thousands of others, like these books I'm reading right now. When it comes to demonic attack, listen, when it comes to astral demonic attack, let me tell you this. There's two things. There is direct demonic attack, and there is indirect. Now, when I say direct, the general warfare that we all go through, we go through general warfare, all of us as believers. The oppression that comes, the attack, Ephesians 6 is clear about it. We should know it very well. It should be common to us. You know, James 4, you know, to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's reality. You don't submit to God, you don't resist the devil, he ain't going to flee from you. If I can use that phrase. And that's just true. You want to be beat up? You want to be under the guns from that side? You want to be oppressed? You want to be attacked? You want to be sitting on the ground? You want to be defeated? Aren't you sick and tired of it? Aren't you tired of that? Don't you... And wouldn't you rather be in the primary power, presence of God unleashing? Wouldn't you rather feel and know the manifest might of God coursing through you? Wouldn't you rather be a vessel through which God's grace comes to those who want to be saved, healed, and delivered? And the warfare authority comes against the demonic realm. Wouldn't you rather be able to clear the room when you walk in using spiritual authority? Would you rather get down and become a powerful prayer warfare intercessor? You see anybody else getting beat up? You see churches getting slammed? And in the physical realm, if all we do is see that and then just blame them, I wonder how many times people think it's just flesh and blood what churches are going through, how they're being influenced. Direct attack. That comes, as Ephesians 6 explains, those arrows of the enemy. We can also have ritual warfare. Now, that's indirect, and astral projection, demonic-empowered astral projection, that is indirect. In other words, the demons are, like in ritual warfare, every city in the United States, I'll tell you again, you have a coven. You have a satanic coven, generational, multiple, multinational type. I mean, this is multi-generational. We explain it in hours and hours and hours of training sessions in Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. I'm going to just simply tell you, you've got a coven in your city. Because if you've got the ritually abused in your city, somebody had to do it. And the only ones that can are deep, deep, active, luciferic, you know, in the covens. And this is what we've learned. This is what we've engaged. This is what I believe God wanted to take us in. And we've been, it seems like, through the fires of hell to find this stuff out at times. We know what it is to get hit. But we've learned how to be covered better, how to learn what it is. Is it general attack? Is it ritual? Are demons being summoned and sent? If you've got attack, if you know your authority, attack back in Jesus' name. Clear the room. Command the assignment and assign demons to be destroyed in all their work. Ask God to stretch out his hand, as in the Old Testament days, over the covens to bring the terror of the Lord. You know when the pagan demonized nations melted in fear? You think God can engage like that? Sure. You think God can send a mist and blind the eyes of a sorcerer trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord? May he do it now if necessary. And what about the ones that are versed in astral projection, knowing that it's demonic empowerment, and they visit, they go? I'm going to tell you right now, in my experience, they're visiting churches, they're visiting pastors, they're visiting Christians. They've been doing it for some time. They're getting better at it. They're bringing harm. Good news is more and more believers are learning, not just the basics, but they're learning what to do. We're going to give deep explanation on Friday night for all believers on what to do, not just in reaction and defense, but in being preemptive and attacking the dark side for the sake of redemption, and if necessary, for the sake of the hand of God to come in and stop it. Now, I mentioned just quickly this individual that wrote this book, and I quoted this from John Magus that wrote this book, Astral Projection and so forth, The Nature of Reality. And I was like, really? You know, reading that, I see, again, it's like looking at cubic zirconium while having the diamond all the while. I don't know a woman anywhere that would exchange their beautiful diamond for a, you know, $6 cubic zirconium. So I'm reading this, and I'm reading the struggles of this astral projector. I'm reading on some of these individuals the fears and the problems and the things they're going through and the things they're relying upon. I see the utter absence of God, of Christ, of seeking God, of God's help. See, I've got testimony. I know that God has come in. I know that God has helped me. I know that God has delivered me. Just like in the Psalms when you read the Psalms. Just like in the book of Acts when you see what God does. But when this man says, in time, we will use astral projection to gather information on who we are and where we've come from. Really? Now, here's the danger. Since it's guided by the demonic, you think they're going to tell them about Almighty, infinite, immeasurable God creating by special act humanity, male and female, eternal beings, majestic beings to bear the image and likeness of God? To walk with God. You think that's what these demons are going to show them? We are in the water balloon put on the hose. The water's rushing in. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The dark side is bulging. And the events that will break open, the chaos, the Antichrist, the regime, the false prophet. If you don't know Jesus of Nazareth, come to Christ. You can do that now. May God bring you to Him. If you know the Lord, become stronger. Check out shadowthedarkness.net, left-hand side courses, training courses to help you. This is Russ Dizdar. Remember us in prayer. Hey, please remember us in support. God bless.